This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? I usually, my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, 3 olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Okay, we officially have a big scandal, and not the one you're thinking. Also, now multiple cities are burning. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. And finally, the ocean. Never go there. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. I got to be honest. Full disclosure. I have not been totally on board with the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden email text scandal yet. And when I say I haven't been on board, this is what I mean. Oh, I believe all these texts and emails and recordings and things like that are real, as we're going to find out. You'd be insane to think otherwise. I think it's terrible what the Biden family has done to trade on your father's name and get in bed with some countries that are really not friendly to us in order to enrich your dirtball son and yourself. I think it's terrible. In fact, I think it should be illegal. Shoot, it might be illegal. I think it disqualifies Joe Biden from the office of the presidency. When I say I haven't been on board, though, this is what I mean. It's hard for you, and it's hard for me, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this fact, because this fact sucks. However, it is a fact of life, and we should accept it. You don't decide elections. I don't decide elections. I understand how popular the show's gotten, and I thank you for it. However, every single person looking me in the eye and listening to my voice right now knows exactly who they're voting for on election day. They know why they're voting for that person on election day. And I'll tell you something else. Pick your furthest left-wing show out there on TV. Whatever one you can think of right now. Same thing applies. Every single person watching that show knows exactly who they're voting for. They know exactly why they're voting for that person. And here's what's wild. You have, haven't you? And so has that person. You've known for a long time. I knew I was going to vote for Donald Trump again pretty much the day I voted for him the last time to be president of the United States of America. I knew. I'm up on all the issues. I read the news. I watch the news every single day. You're sitting here watching me as we speak. We don't decide elections. The people who decide elections are people who don't pay attention. I mean, we don't have to sugarcoat this, okay? There are people who don't pay attention. If you're somebody who votes on issues, and frankly, full disclosure, you know, I'm not your mommy, I'm your daddy, I'll give it to you right between the eyes. If you don't vote on issues, I lose respect for you. I kind of think you're a moron. I don't care about personalities and style and rude this or that. I care about tangible things. Give me tangible things, things I can touch and feel. I'm an issues voter. You're probably an issues voter. But if you don't vote on issues and you vote on things like, and this is what these swing voters, they vote on things like, he seemed nice. Oh, I don't know. I didn't like him. Wait, what? And look, it works in our favor sometimes too. It worked against Hillary. Oh, she just didn't seem like a good person. You hear things like that and you're trying to wrap your mind around it. But those people, they are who decide who the next president of the United States is going to be. You already know who you're voting for. The wacko leftists already know who they're voting for. It's the swing voter who decides who the next election is going to be. I mean, just think about this for a moment. And if this is you, just know that, yeah, I'm judging you. There are people out there who voted for Barack Obama twice and then turned around and voted for Donald Trump. Now, I should say I'm judging you. This does not apply to people who had a political awakening and realized, wow, I really don't identify with that. This party or this person's much more in line with my values. If you pay attention and you've switched your thinking, that's one thing. But if you're one of these, oh, I like Obama. Man, his speeches are cool. He seems nice. Ooh, that's Donald Trump. Look, he has a big, pretty jet. I think I'll vote for him. I think you're a moron. But those people decide elections. And the reason I've been unsure about this Hunter Biden, Joe Biden email thing is this. How are we supposed to explain it to that person? If you're somebody who pays so little attention to politics, and that's fine, you're into what you're into, but if you pay so little attention to it, how am I supposed to lay this out for you? What am I supposed to say? Because this stuff is confusing on purpose. It's confusing because they want it confusing, because it's kind of illegal, because you're not going to have a check, a time-stamped check. This is to Joe Biden from the Communist Party of China for services rendered. You're not going to have a receipt like that. These guys are not morons. It's this shell company or that shell company. And that's why the Biden, you know, the Biden outcries against all this. Oh, it's fake. Oh, you've never seen anything like, it wasn't on my tax returns. Well, no, you don't put dealings like this on your tax returns. These guys know what they're doing. It's a shell company here. It's a startup there. Up, oh, that startup company just went away after a couple years. Had a good couple years, too. That's weird how they just started and left. That's how they do these things. They shield themselves from it. And so because it's so confusing, what am I supposed to say? Well, you have to understand, Joe Biden has a dirtball son. They'll be with you so far. Okay, all right, he has a dirtball son. And Joe Biden's dirtball son approached this energy company in this country, but this energy company kind of already works for the bad government in that country, and they've already been accused of bribery scandals. And you see, once they do that, you see, he started a startup company to get an extra contract, and you've already lost them. You've already lost them. I mean, shoot, you lost me, and I'm the one explaining it to you. So I didn't think there was something here until I watched this Tony Bobulinski interview last night on Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Credit to him. man, it was, look, I don't even watch political shows anymore because I do them all day. When I go home, I watch history stuff. I hang with the fam. I watched, and it was jaw-dropping how damaging this was to Joe and Jill Biden. This man has the records, time-stamped, verified, emails, text messages, voice recordings, and he comes off professional, and he comes off as credible. And he is savaging the Biden family for what appears to be, yikes, some major corruption. Here he is.
What are the implications of this going forward? If Joe Biden is elected president, which could very well happen, how does this constrain his ability to deal with China?
Are you asking for my personal opinion?
I am. I'm asking for your opinion as someone who's worked with the Chinese.
So I think Joe Biden and the Biden family are compromised. Obviously, I've referenced that I held a Q clearance. You're briefed on compromise and, you know, who you're able to talk with and deal and do business with. And I just don't see, given the history here and the facts, how Joe can't be influenced in some manner based on the history that they have where here with CFC and stuff like that. So as a citizen.
Compromised? By China? Let's not allow, this is what happens. Words and phrases get repeated over and over and over again, and they start to lose their meaning to us over time. So let's pause for a moment here. China is our mortal enemy. China is a major, major military power. They are a nuclear power, and they are not a passive one. They are aggressively seeking out new powers, new wealth all over the world, and they don't hide any of this. They have intentions of world domination. They are an imperialist nation, a significant threat to the entire free world, and militarily, economically, this is hard to admit, okay? It's hard to admit. China's pretty much our equal. That's a bitter pill to swallow, though, right? We don't like to think of it like that. You look at GDPs, you look at military budgets, China can hang with us militarily. They can. Are they our equal, you know, totally? Probably not. China couldn't invade here. But I've got something for you. We couldn't invade there. We wouldn't win. So knowing that, the next president of the United States of America, if Joe Biden wins the election, is compromised by that? That's not a small side deal. That's not an October surprise. That is the biggest deal of big deals. That's as big a deal as it comes. This is the biggest political scandal of our time as it stands right now. Tony Bobulinski went on.
What are the implications of this going forward? If Joe Biden is elected president, which could very well happen, how does this constrain his ability to deal with China?
Are you asking for my personal?
Tony Bobulinski went on talking about Joe Biden.
I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone in this situation,
right,
let alone Rob Walker and his family, James Gillier and his family. But basically, Rob's position was, if you go on record with all these facts, you'll bury all of us.
If he doesn't come out on record, I am providing the facts.
Tony, you're just going to just bury all of us, man.
What was your response to that?
I was focused on pushing these guys to do the right thing, to demonstrate an ounce of integrity in front of the American people. They all know the facts. I live the facts. And luckily for the American people, all the facts are extremely well documented.
Let's slow down there a little. Now, yes, we have the evidence. Yes, these are facts. That voicemail, that's tough. I mean, look, all these things are facts, but let's slow down on Tony Bobulinski. He's a lifelong business partner of these people who's extremely jaded, and he's getting them back for something. He's not doing this for the integrity of the process. He's doing this because he's jaded and he's angry, and the man has receipts. And maybe that should be a little lesson for you and a lesson for all of us. Be very, very, very careful how you treat people. You have no idea the position of power the person you're treating like crap now is going to be in a few years. Yeah. Be very careful with that. And be careful with that. I'm doing this for integrity. No, you're not. Sell that somewhere else. I'm glad he's doing it, don't get me wrong, but you sell that somewhere else. Biden campaign came out and said this. This is Andrew Bates. As Chris Wallace said on the air about this very smear, Vice President Biden has actually released his tax returns, unlike President Trump, and there's no indication he ever got any money from anybody in these business deals. Joe Biden has never even considered being involved in business with his family, nor in any overseas business whatsoever. He has never held stock in any such business arrangements, nor has any family member or any person ever held stock for him. That's what they do, though. He didn't put it on his tax returns. Yeah. All the bribes I get, I don't put them on my tax returns either. I'm kidding. Don't call me. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, it's time. I know you've been considering a gold IRA. I know you've probably talked about it with your spouse. Oh, should we? Do we really need something else? It's time now. And I cannot stress this enough. It's time now. Election coming up, end of the year coming up. Congress can still considering yet another multi-trillion dollar stimulus. Just there's so much uncertainty right now. And we're running an over $3 trillion deficit this year alone. We're printing money like no nation in the history of the world ever has, unbacked. Come on. Get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance. Gold Alliance has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. We'll be back. I'm frustrated with these riots. And I'm not even living in any of these areas. By the grace of God, I live in Texas, and that stuff doesn't fly here in Texas, even in our big cities. Our police departments would never put up with that. Oh, and as a quick side note, it's my show. I can talk about whatever I want. I've lived all over the country, all over. I live country. I've lived Rust Belt. I've lived desert. I've lived in Washington, D.C. I've lived all over. If you are at this point in time considering a move to, let's say, Red America somewhere, I quit my job and threw my family in a car and drove across exclusively Red America just to escape Washington, D.C. and live somewhere where the surrounding area in general, nothing's universal, but in general shared my values. And I'll tell you, at the time when I did it, I wasn't sure if it would be a stark difference. So D.C.'s all leftist, all crazy, everybody's rude and nasty and mean. If you're considering it and your family can do it, it will change your life. Living, working, worshiping around people who believe what you believe and think like you think, it is the biggest difference maker in the world. I'm even in Democrat Houston. I'm in the burbs, but I'm in Democrat Houston as I talk to you right now. While everybody else was defunding the police, our police chief was standing up saying, "All you good cops who are tired of getting treated like crap, come on down here. We don't undercut police here in Houston." That's what it's like living in places that share your values. If you're considering it, I know moving's scary. I've moved my whole life. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to it. It's actually fun. I know moving's scary for people. Go. If there's a place out there you're considering, go. It is better. But back to this here. I also just love my country in general, and I love big cities. I love the country too. I grew up in the country. But I love big cities too. Places like Chicago, New York City might be my favorite place in the country. These are awesome places, cool places. Even Philadelphia. They're more than just cheesesteaks. The history of Philadelphia. I want Philadelphia to be awesome. Portland. Part of the video I'm going to show you is taken in Portland. I've been to Portland a couple times. Granted, it's been about 20 years, and I hear they've trashed it by this point, but it's beautiful. You ever fly into Portland, your jaw will drop. You take this plane in, you're flying over the Columbia River, and everything's just lush and green. It's awesome. And we've let these sick freaks of Antifa and Black Lives Matter destroy this place. And I'll go back to what I said a couple months ago when we were letting this take place all over the country. What does that say about us as a nation? Forget about Democrat, Republican, city, country. As a nation, what do you think it says that a bunch of scumbags who hate this country are allowed free rein to burn it down? And they're burning it down over crap? I'm sorry. I am in no way obligated to acknowledge the validity of your cause at all. Lots of causes out there are stupid and wrong. The guy was a domestic abuser with a huge knife charging at police officers who were practically begging him, please don't, please stop. They didn't want to hurt the guy. They did what they had to do. That's why you're rioting, looting, shooting people. That's not a me problem. That's a you're a scumbag problem. That's what the problem is. Fix it. Fix yourself. And I'm tired of allowing this to happen. The truth is this. People will do what they're allowed to do, especially people who don't have great guidance for whatever the... I mean, you've seen the pictures of these Antifa people. You've seen these Black Lives Matter people. These people, they even look like scum. Do you think they have good parents at home? Do you think they've been given guidance on how to conduct themselves? Okay, fine. Your parents didn't raise you properly. You still will only do what you're allowed to get away with. The truth is this. These things should all be put down night one. Not night three, four, five. Not week three. Not month two. Night number one. It should be billy clubs. It should be jail time. It should be maximum bail. And guess what? They would disappear like that. These things are only continuing because they've been enabled by all these scumbag Democratic mayors. And it speaks poorly of the United States of America that we allow this crap to happen. Look at these animals.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
People were walking out of stores with washing machines on dollies. I'm not making it up. There's a one video out there, I should have shown it to you, of a parking lot in Philadelphia where they're basically playing bumper cars with their own cars after having looted a major store. Don't tell me this is about a cause. Don't tell me this is about racism. Don't tell me it's about oppression. This is about a bunch of dirtballs getting away with what they're allowed to get away with. It's time to stop. It's time to stop. I'm glad Donald Trump is taking a pretty firm stance on it, sounds like.
Last night, Philadelphia was torn up by Biden-supporting radicals. 30 police officers, Philadelphia police officers, great people. They were injured, some badly. Biden stands with the rioters, and I stand with the heroes of law enforcement. And you know what? They can do their job very easily. Just let them do their job.
And that's what's amazing. These big city police departments really can do their job. If they're not getting the job done, it's because they're being held back. These guys are equipped. They are trained. The New York City Police Department, the NYPD, they are capable of some high-end, incredible stuff. They could stop this stuff like that if they were allowed to do so. The cities don't even have to call in the National Guard. The cities could handle it themselves. And yet, we still have the White House Communication Director coming out and saying, dude, we'll let you have the National Guard. Take them.
We're monitoring the situation closely. If necessary, we'll be standing by and prepared to deploy federal resources. I want to make one thing clear. President Trump will not tolerate any violence directed at America's law enforcement. And look, the actual case, we're going to let the facts play out, let the investigation play out, but we will not tolerate lawlessness in our street.
Speaks poorly of us as a nation. Maybe it's time we stop making excuses for people. Maybe it's time we stop enabling this kind of degeneracy. And maybe it's time we actually addressed real issues in a real way. I know that's wild. Maybe it's just hopeful thinking. All right. Got another 8 hours of sleep last night. What'd you get? I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm trying to drive the point home. Ebb sleep makes you sleep naturally. That's the best part about it. It's not sleeping pills. I'm not putting anything in my body. It's natural, deep sleep. I sleep so long, my arm falls asleep half the time. That's incredible. The energy level difference during the day when you start putting together night after night after night of 8 hours of sleep, it's awesome. You put it on, it cools your forehead area, calming down those racing thoughts, putting you asleep fast and keeping you asleep. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Get $25 off. We'll be back. Joining us now, representative from the great and very important state of Pennsylvania, Mike Kelly. Congressman, could you tell us, what are Pennsylvania values? What do Pennsylvania people vote on? Everybody's going for Pennsylvania. Every politician wants Pennsylvania in their back pocket. What are the values of the people of Pennsylvania?
You know what? I mean, honestly, Jesse, this is about as American as you can get. First Amendment rights are important. Second Amendment rights are important. Pro-life is important. Most of the people I represent have either been in the military or they have an entire family history of serving our country in so many different ways. It's just, this is as blue collar and as basic as you can get. I'm talking about people who go to church, read the Bible, love to go out and hunt, love to shoot their guns, love to raise their children, and love to be part of the greatest country the world has ever known. They're just solid, solid people.
What exactly am I looking at? That looks like farm country. I know farm country. My grandpa was a farmer from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, the farm behind me belongs to some friends of mine, H. Francis Kennedy. That was his farm. His kids are still around. They don't farm it like they used to. But this spot that we're at right now is farm country. This is farm country. Most of the corn's been harvested by now. You know that. I liked it whenever they weren't using the way we shave the fields now. I like it when we had the corn picker and we had rows of corn afterwards. We'd go out and hunt ringneck pheasant. But this is still fine. It's beautiful country. It's a beautiful place to grow up. It's a beautiful place to raise kids. And it's a big part of America. And there's an airport close by. You can maybe hear them going over right now.
I can. Congressman, I've had this theory, and honestly, seeing you back in your home district only reinforces my theory, that I don't think Washington, D.C. politicians, Congress and whatnot, should meet back in D.C. very often. I think they should be in their home districts most of the time. What say you?
I'm with you. You know what? With what we're able to do, like you and I are doing right now. Listen, I would like to see us be in Washington 1 week and 3 weeks out of each month back in our districts talking to the people who we represent. I've always told people, look, you didn't send me to Washington to bring back Washington to you. You sent me to Washington to take your views, your values, and what you believe in to Washington to say, we don't need to hear from you. We live our lives the right way. So I would be a week in D.C., get through our committee meetings, get through whatever votes we have, then get back home on the field, be in the fields, be on the farms, be on the streets, talking to people that we represent. And, you know, Jess, this is so basic, the things that we have to. We are, they call us congressmen, what we really are representatives. We are representing, and in my case, 705,687 people back in Pennsylvania's 16th Congressional District. I don't need to be in D.C. to find out how to represent them. I need to be back here to find out what they want, what they expect, and really what they deserve.
Are people nervous about this election coming up, the presidential election? I'm sure that you've probably got yours in the bag, but the presidential election, are they nervous about it? Are they excited about it? Are they dreading it? What's the mood out there? I'm sure you're being asked about it everywhere you go.
Do you know what? I think more than anything else, there is a concern because of what's happening right now in Butler. I was over at the Election Bureau today. They told me that we sent ballots because they have to send them from the Butler post office to Pittsburgh. Then Pittsburgh sorts it and sends it back to Butler, and then Butler delivers it to our homes. They have lost. Once the ballots left Butler, they don't know what happened to them. They have lost thousands of ballots already just out of the Butler post office down to Pittsburgh, the sorting. And so what they're wondering about is my vote really going to be counted? Am I really going to look at an election that was fair? And with what we see going around the country, and especially in states that are Democrat controlled, we are seeing things that we've never seen before. I tell people, look, this is something that 1.4 million Americans in uniform died for. You really need to know that your vote got registered, got counted, and that it is a fair election. Around here, the biggest concern I have right now, and what people I represent are telling me, is I just don't trust it. I don't trust it. And, you know, Jess, you and I both know where I'm standing right now. The only way that they can beat this president is to cheat this president. And by cheating him, they're going to cheat every single voter out there who now has to scratch his or her head and say, oh, my God, I never believed it could happen here. But it's happening, and it's a great, great concern. So they're very concerned. I have people telling me, and some of them in tears, Jess, they're saying, I'm going to Mass every day. I'm going to church. I'm praying. The president has to be reelected, not because it's about him. It's about our country. We can't afford to lose this country. And what we're seeing is just so scary, a socialist platform, almost a communist platform, and by a guy who really has trouble remembering what day it is and where he is and who his opponent is in Joe Biden. This is absolutely insane. So, you know, listen, what you've done with your life and what all my friends that served in the military have done, you put your life on the line to protect this country. You would like to think that coming back to you is you're going to have your vote counted, and it's going to be counted fair. And that's the biggest concern we have right now. We cannot afford to lose Donald Trump as our president. It's just, to me, it's just too bleak a future for our country.
Okay, what are we doing about it? Because I have heard this time and time again about the ballots lost and how big of a deal this is. Tell me we're doing something. What are we doing?
You know what? A good friend of mine, Tom King, who's an attorney here in town, is doing an awful lot of the work for Pennsylvania, the Republican Party. We're challenging, and we're going to the courts, and we're trying to get our message into them and make register what our complaint is. But again, we're running out of time. We're just running out of time and running out of calendar, and we're running out of clock. Now, in some of these states, in this state, Governor Wolf has said, listen, don't worry about November the 3rd, because we're going to keep counting votes 3-4 days after that, 3 days right now. And in the Carolinas, I think they said 9 days past Election Day. I don't understand this. November the 3rd is our Election Day. But we're telling people, as long as there's a postmark, it says November 3rd up to 8 o'clock at night when the polls close, and whatever. This is what they're trying to push. And so, I mean, I'm like every other person that's out there. I'm concerned about what they're doing. All the Democrat states are pushing and moving things around and making it very difficult for people to really believe that their vote got in, got counted, and got the president into office. So we're fighting it in the courts,
but
I got to tell you what, it's been a tough fight.
Okay, I mean, we are doing this in other states as well, right? I mean, I'm sure you're banging heads there in Texas. It already sounds like you are, but other states are getting the lawyers involved now, right? This is a legitimate concern. It's funny you brought it up. That's why I'm staying on it. I get this brought up to me 1,000 times a day. I don't trust the election. They're going to steal the election. Jesse, they're going to steal the election. And I found that hard to believe, but hearing it from your mouth, it's a lot more believable.
It is. It's very believable because you can see it happening in real time. This isn't something that people are dreaming out in the middle of the night and having nightmares about. They're seeing it happen in real time. Some of them have already voted. And as I just said, in my area, I was just at the office today, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of votes that were collected in Butler, taken to the post office in Butler. The post office in Butler sent them to Pittsburgh, and now they're saying, we don't know where those votes are or what happened to them. So people said, well, do you think somebody would actually cheat on this. I said, well, I tell you what I do think. I think with the way these governors have handled this, and they're all Democrat governors, they have made it more believable than ever that an election can be stolen. And these people seek power, and no matter how to get there, it's all right with them. Whatever they have to do to get there, they'll do it. And when I'm talking about them, I'm talking about, look at who it is that's changing the voting right now. Who is it that's saying that that the election days are no longer the only times we're going to be counting votes? So we'll never know on the night of November the 3rd who the president of the United States is going to be, because it's going to get carried over. I do believe there's going to be a lot of fraud that surfaces, and it's going to be challenged in the courts for quite a long time. It's not like back when in the Bush Gore, where it was just one state, Florida, and we were waiting to see what happened there as they went through recounts looking for hanging chads. I'm talking across the country. We're looking now. It could be thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of votes that don't get counted. One of the things I'm facing right now, we're having people call our office and say, I voted early, but I want to change my vote. I don't know why, but I voted for Biden, but I need to change my vote. And said, in some states, you can go do that. In Pennsylvania, you cannot. So there's that element that's going on all the time of people just don't have faith. And I believe the greatest victim, Jesse, of this election is going to be the loss of faith and trust in the way we conduct our elections by the American people. That's a horrible, horrible thing to have to question going forward, yeah. But it's going to happen.
That's a big loss. Congressman Mike Kelly, thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Jess, thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing. And please, let's just stay alert, stay on top of this, and we're never giving up on this. We're going to make sure that the best of our ability on every single vote that you voted, your vote needs to be counted, and you need to go to sleep knowing, put your head on that pillow, knowing that in the United States of America, you're not going to lose because somebody cheated you.
Make it happen. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service.
Speaking of cheating you, you know your home title is not a piece of paper. You realize that. Your home title exists digitally now. Your home title is online now. And because it's online, it can be hacked. Anything online can be hacked, and the home titles are so easy for these thieves to hack. This is the big cybercrime out there right now. Now, they're not going to steal your home, obviously. They take your home title, they forge your signature on it, they take a loan out against it, they take off with the cash. You have to pay the loan back. Or you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees trying to rewind everything in the courts. Or you could just go get Home Title Lock. I mean, that's what I did. Why not just go get Home Title Lock? They detect tampering immediately and shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code Jesse, or no, use the promo code Radio. That gets you 30 days for free. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Radio. We'll be back. Joining me now, founder of Guardian Angels and currently, please, Lord, running for mayor of New York City, Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, why are you running for mayor?
Somebody's got to save our city. We are slipping into the abyss. We have a mayor. I refer to him as Comrade Bill de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, who likes to meander around. He goes for a constitutional walk in the morning, then he does a few hours of business, then he takes a walk through a place called Prospect Park, all by his lonesome self. Now, you got to understand, being mayor of New York City used to be considered the second roughest, toughest job in America, second only to being president. Well, he's created a part-time position, and unfortunately, it might actually do us all the better in the next year before his term limited out if he didn't do any work at all. Because every time he does something, it creates a problem. So this city, which is the economic engine for the world, America, our state of New York, is lapsed into a depression. We have more unemployment than any other city. We have empty canyons of glass-encased buildings. And no hope that anything's going to get better. And obviously, my sweet spot is dealing in public safety, preventing crime. And we have had outrageous increases in crime. Just having another riot last night by Antifa, in which they looted, They pillaged, and the cops, who have been told to stand back, saw their own vehicles being desecrated in front of them, and our mayor told them, don't antagonize Antifa. This mayor's got to go.
Curtis, explain to me what he did, why he did it. And I will tell you, obviously, it's not as personal for me as it is for you. But as everybody who watches my show knows, I love New York City. It's like my favorite place in the world. I'm going up there again next week. I just love the place. And the last few times I've gone, I see it going this way, and it sucks, Curtis. I love the place, and I'm watching it go this way. What did he do? Why did he ruin my city that I love so much?
Because there's such an overreaction, not only by Mayor de Blasio, but his Italian stallion cohort, who he used to be best friends with, Andrew Cuomo. And now they're directly opposed, in opposition to one another. They don't communicate. They never have meetings. And they give diametrically different orders from headquarters. Because of the pandemic, they now have these executive orders which allow them to bypass the legislative process. You know, for years, they were afraid that if Trump were elected president, he would do everything by fiat, executive order. He hasn't done that. In fact, he said, you know, it's the states that have responsibility to manage their affairs and the large cities. And oh, these mayors and governors have been just filled with dictatorial powers that they don't want to release. And it seems every decision that they make it contradicts common sense. So crime is going up. People are desperate. They're without employment. And both Cuomo and de Blasio just keep ratcheting it up on middle class, upper middle class, wealthy people who've invested in this city. So they're fleeing in record numbers, leaving behind the lower middle class, the poor and the impoverished who can't escape. And there just won't be enough money. So what I'm preparing people for in New York City is what I had to deal with in the late 70s when I started the Guardian Angels up in the Bronx patrolling subways. You have to learn to do more with less. There's no money. Never mind defunding the police. You'll have to defund every city agency, all the services. You're going to have to become more self-reliant. This is going to be more about self-help. And that's why I think I have a message that will resonate. And more importantly, I got to convince people, improve, don't move. And take pride in yourself. Don't be so dependent on politicians, whether it's myself or anyone else. Start taking responsibility for your quality of life in your home, on your street, in your neighborhood. You become less reliant on government, so that when we were a dollar short and a day late, the government typically is, you won't be as angry. You won't be as upset. You won't be so quick to want to pick up and escape.
Curtis, what are you going to do different? Because I'll tell you, I've had this thought a million times. Now, I live in the suburbs of Texas now, so I live in Houston. But I've thought a million times how much I love New York, how much I'd move to New York. I actually considered it at one point in time. And if I was there right now, I'd have a moving truck in front of my house today, getting my family out of New York City. What would you say to me saying, hey, how do you convince me not to go? Because I know they're doing it. I hear the stories about moving companies turning people away because they're so busy.
Well, I cannot be like de Blasio or Cuomo, the godfathers of doom and gloom. Every day they have a press conference. They call it coffee with Cuomo, coffee with de Blasio. And it's more fear, fright, hysteria. And they hype the worst of circumstances. So they don't give you any hope. So if you're running a restaurant and they've now ratcheted it up so you can't even meet your minimal expense, they don't go to restaurants. They don't show the public, hey, we're going to restaurants. They don't ride the subways. They don't ride the city buses. They're not like cheerleaders urging people, stay here, and those that have fled, think about coming back. If necessary, make personal phone calls to them. You know, a lot of times, if the mayor were to pick up the phone and have a personal conversation with what they call now influencers, you know, the new generation, hipster millennials say, oh, influencers. Well, the mayor is the biggest influence on people's decision of all, whether they're in business, whether they work for civil service, whether they're retirees. Pick up the phone, have conversations, tell them, give me a little bit of time. I'm going to restore the majesty, the greatness, the 24/7, 365 energy of New York, the culture, Broadway, plays, things that would keep you here, even if there were some other things that weren't necessarily going well. You just love the vibrancy and the energy. That's why it attracted you from outside of Houston and attracted people from all over the world. And eventually, this pandemic will be history. And we're going to have to get back to a normal operation. And I'm afraid there'll be nobody left in New York City other than the homeless, the emotionally disturbed, and the thugs and the gangbangers doing their drive-by shootings.
What are the cops saying, Curtis? How are you, if you're a New York City police officer, how are you still even there? I mean, you're given nothing to work with. You are the one who's handcuffed. You have to, as you pointed out, you have to sit back and watch scumbags trash your stuff. How are these guys dealing with this?
Well, now think of it. When the pandemic first came about and there was a lockdown across America, every day I remember my fellow New Yorkers, they'd be hanging outside the balconies of their apartments, and at 7 o'clock they'd be applauding doctors, nurses, orderlies, EMTs, firefighters, cops, the first responders. Then all of a sudden in the aftermath, when Mr. Floyd was killed by the Minneapolis Police Department in South Minneapolis, all of a sudden the heroes became zeros. No, not the doctors, nurses, and orderlies or the firefighters or the EMTs, the cops. And so now we vilified them. So any frustration that we had with government, and there was a lot to be frustrated with government, whether you didn't like Trump or Cuomo or whatever your frustration was, you took it out on the cops because they were the visible symbol of government. And then the politicians who were ordering the cops to do so much to put them in harm's way retreated when the cops were under fire, and the politicians, like scallywags that they are, put their tail between their legs and started blaming the cops too. And that's why the police now, they feel emasculated. They feel as if they've been castrated. They've been exposed to kryptonite. So they're going to be reactive, not proactive. That's what you saw just last night. Only a group of 200 hardcore Antifa members were able to rampage through downtown Brooklyn amongst the hipsters and millennials that have come here from Iowa, where there are more pigs than people. And they had their way. They not only attacked businesses and looted businesses and threw graffiti on the buildings, they graffitied the police vehicles that were following them. And the cops, they didn't respond because the mayor and the police commissioner told them to stand down. So their attitude is, I do my 20 years, I put my papers in, I get an ice cream shop down in Boca Raton, Florida, and I just retire.
Curtis Sliwa, I hope you're the next mayor of New York City, my friend. Have a good one.
I'll give this city a badly needed colonic, and I'll tell you, between now and then, I'll continue to fight for what I know is right and give these thugs a therapeutic back massage and have them suck concrete, because that's the only language they understand. It's called pain compliance.
Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate you.
Pleasure.
All right. We'll be back. I love the ocean. I love how just vast it is. And I'll be honest with you, I love how scary it is. I think it's cool. You never know what's lurking underneath. Just enjoy this little video. Whoa! Those screams are genuine, folks. Never swim, ever. I'll see you tomorrow. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.